My name's Jerry Robinson, and on behalf of the Friends of Gibraltar Oral History Project, and with me today is both Norman Jones and also Steve Kilvert. We're beginning with you, Norman. I wonder if you could, for the Oral History Project, say something about your early life and the early experiences in the army.
I'm Norman Jones, born 1940 in Gillingham. Lived there for most of the war. Left there in 1947 to go and live with my grandparents, with my parents who were in Ramsgate. Then moved from Ramsgate to Maidstone. Eventually, in 1958, I got fed up with school. I was at the grammar school doing A levels and wasn't going very far. I tried for the RAF 5 times for air crew and failed the air crew selection test. So in a blank period, I wandered downtown and wandered into the army recruiting office, where a Royal Artillery sergeant said, "You're just the boy for us."
Yes, so you took the shilling.
So I joined, but joined the Corps of Royal Engineers, and started my training at Farnborough in the old Southwood Barracks, joined in August 1958. My trade requirement, or my trade request, was to be a surveyor. And so having completed my training here, I went to Chatham and did my basic survey course, and then did my grade 2 survey course, which was railway surveys. And I thought, well, that'll be great. I should be posted to a railway unit, either Railways Home Group, which used to be in Derby, or to Germany, which had its own... The military ran up quite a lot of railways in Germany. But I got a posting order to Gibraltar, and when I queried it, I said, "But there's no railways into Gibraltar." They said, "Yeah, there's a bloody lot of tunnels." So that was it.
And that was your first posting?
That was my first posting, yeah. I was posted to Gibraltar in 1960.
How old were you, Norman?
I was 19. And to find out that I was the only surveyor on Gibraltar, and that they were just going to start Keatley's Way Tunnel, and it was my job. They'd just started the entrance, and it was my job to do all the survey work for Keatley's Way Tunnel, which I did, and brought it out in the right place. That was a little game. The OC said to me, "Jones, you'll make one mistake and then you're off." He said, "I want you to mark the spot on the face where you're going to come out." So I had to do a red dot on the rock face. And then he said, "Right, we'll drill a hole from inside and see how close you are." So I said, "Well, I'll go and drill the hole because I don't want anybody else to play with it." And yeah, it came out within the 9-inch square, so within the 9-inch hole. So I was quite pleased with that.
And so, what was the reason for this tunnel, Keatley Tunnel?
It was really for... There was the Nuffield swimming pool down in Little Bay, and they were improving the area there with the seawall for use, you know, for recreation use. But the only way in was via the old tunnel, which came through from...
Rosier Bay.
Yeah. It was a long way round, and all the quarters were at Europa.
Yeah.
So it was really just to give an easy access for people to get down to what was going to be a recreation centre. In fact, I was out there this year, and they're doing a lot more work there to actually improve it, to make it quite a nice you know, bathing spot and all that. So that was that one, and then... we finished that tunnel, and then we did Dudley Ward Way, which was around the other side of the tunnel from Europa down to Monkey's Caves and near the Coletta Palace.
All right.
And I did the survey for that and started the drawing for that. Was there for the first 150, 200 feet of that tunnel, and then I was posted off to Germany.
And what was it easy tunneling in the rock, or?
It's relatively easy. It's Jurassic limestone, fairly stable. There's not a lot of overbear, there's not a lot of movement, so to a degree it's safe. There's only one problem, and we did actually do a third tunnel when I was there, which was from was into Rosier Car Park, or we tried to go. The rock is actually two pieces of stone. It's not one lump, not one big lump, and it's got a seam of clay that goes across just to the south of Rosier, and nobody's ever been able to tunnel through it.
Uh-huh.
And we tried, and it just kept collapsing on us. And we we were trying in the end to get to get it out with water, using fire hoses from the Gibraltar Fire Brigade. And we were hosing away and hosing away, and this stuff was falling and falling. And all of a sudden, there was bricks. And what we were hosing was the foundation of one of the quarters that sits above. It was decided we would stop at this stage and backfill everything. So it's all been backfilled and it's sealed up.
So when you were there and in the tunnels, did you see some of the old, the older tunnels, the existing?
Yeah, I was fortunate because I was the surveyor. I had a full security clearance and I was allowed all over the rock. So in fact, I had 3 years where I had unlimited access to just about everything. And yes, you know.
And they talk about 26 miles of tunnels and various chambers.
There's various figures from about 20 somewhat to 30 somewhat, and you know, I would think it's probably close to 30 odd miles of tunnel there now. A lot of it was done during the Second World War, and quite a bit since the Second World War has still been done. And of course, there's the old siege tunnels which go back to 1772. But we used to do some work in the tunnels there. One of the things that was out there about 8 years ago, and the Dudley Warbway tunnel had been closed because there'd been a fall of rock which had come down at the southern entrance and hit a car, killed a couple of people in the car. And they were getting worried about the tunnels then and how safe they were. And when I was talking about it, they said, you know, how often do they do tunnel inspections? And from the time that the Corps really withdrew from the Gibraltar, they hadn't been doing tunnel inspections. Now, we used to do inspections of the major parts of the tunnel network once a month.
Because there was a Fortress Engineering Squadron or something.
Yeah, Fortress Engineering Regiment when I first joined it in 63, and then it was 1st Fortress Squadron, which I was part of, and Steve was part of. Steve was in the power stations troop. And I was in the tunnelling troop.
Yeah, and we'll come on to that as well.
And we used to do a run once a month from the backs of tippers down through all the main tunnels, just checking that there was no loose rock. And we always look at the entrances as well.
And people talk about there was obviously chambers there which could do engineering, you know,
Reamy chambers, where Dudley Warbway ran from, which was from near Monkey's Caves distilleries up to Reamy Chambers. And Reamy Chambers was one of the biggest unsupported caverns in Europe, and that had everything in. They could do everything. They could build vehicles in there, do it, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Did you ever get down to the hospital chambers?
Yeah, one of the hospitals, the main hospital, was in what is now St Michael's Caves, the main St Michael's Caves. One of the first jobs I had when I first got out there working with the troop was to go and finish clearing what had been sort of Nissen hut type buildings inside St Michael's Caves and prepare it for the officers' mess summer ball. And we put the first of the concrete staging in, which is now, when you go into St Michael's Caves, it's in tiers all the way down to the main arena. We put the first of them in because this was the officers' mess summer ball for 1960, that would have been. Yeah, and we hung a big genie from one of the stalactites. Yeah.
Marvellous.
Yeah.
And when you first went in there, and it still had the Nissen huts, because I know in a lot of them, they, because of seepage for water, they used to put the corrugated tin roofing on.
Yeah.
What was in there?
There were still parts of the old hospital wards and bits and pieces that were still there. You know, there was they had been stripping it out for quite some time when we went in, but there were still beds which we had to get rid of. You could see where the operating theatres and everything had been. It was a fully functional
They never really used it, though, did they?
I don't believe they did, although it had its own generator, which was down opposite the entrance to the naval hospital. There was a tunnel, and that had a generator at the far end of that, which used to or could generate power for the St. Michael's Caves Hospital. Mm.
And were there any other interesting parts, chambers or bits?
Yeah, Lower St. Michael's. I was also trained as a near the end of my tour, I volunteered to be a cave guide for the Lower St. Michael's Caves.
Oh, wow.
Which was interesting. In fact, there was a programme on television a short while ago that said that the Gibraltar government took it over in 1963, which is when I left. So it must have been at about the time. There was three or four of us who were sort of trained in it.
And presumably somebody would have surveyed that. Was it you? Or?
No, well, it was found in 1944 by a group of Canadian tunnellers who were driving another entrance to the hospital. And one of the skips jumped off the rails because he used to move the rock in and out on a narrow gauge railway thing. And one of the skips jumped off the rails and went through the floor. And that's how they found the entrance into Lower St. Michael's Caves. Wow. And it had been sort of used by cavers and that sort of people for quite a while. And then they strung lights in there and realised how nice it was and how really interesting it was. And so they put up various walkways and lighting. And then there were a number of people who were the cave guides. And because it was a little bit different, had a big lake in the middle of it with a 6-inch narrow walkway around the outside.
Amazing.
Normally about 6 at a time people down off of the cruise ships that were coming in. We'd pick them up at the dockyard and then take them up and escort them down.
And before we started the interview, you mentioned about some of the stay behind chambers. Did you see some of those?
Yeah, I saw one. That was the one at the south face that looks out across the straits. We wondered what it was at first. We thought it was just a spy hole.
Yeah.
But apparently, the problem was that you had it from the outside. Once you found the entrance, once you could see the things, but there didn't appear to be anywhere on the inside that you could have because it had been bricked up.
Yeah. And what was in there?
I never actually got in it. I only just saw it, but we never saw anything in it. All we assumed it was one of the old defences, but apparently it was one that stayed behind chambers.
Right, okay. And we'll come on to when you, because you went back to Gibraltar several times.
I've been
you?
Back to Gibraltar a lot, yeah.
Did you go back there in the army?
Yes, I did. I went back whilst I was training at the end of my service in 1978 to 80. I was the SMI for the TA up at Lindley Manor.
Okay, we'll come on to that. But
and whilst with them, we went out twice with squadrons. To various jobs, and on one of those I went out to do a survey of the Monkey's Caves water distillery.
Oh, right.
Apparently there'd been some local problems with labour, and there was a threat that the distillery staff were all going to go on strike. And at that stage Gibraltar was very much dependent on the distillery to have fresh water.
What year was that?
This was 1978-79.
Okay.
And when I got out there with the TA, they said, we've got a special job for you, if you don't mind, as you're a surveyor. Would you mind doing an operations manual for the Monkey's Caves distilleries? So I said, what's it all about? So they explained to me, and I said, is it a secret one? No, we want you to be very obvious in what you're doing. So I had, fortunately, the RSM of the TA unit was a plumber, and the chief clerk of the TA unit was a very good clerk. So we set to and made quite a lot of noise and had a great couple of weeks walking in and out of Monkey's Cage distilleries. We finished up with an operational plan, which I've got a copy of here, which I handed in 78, July 1978.
And was the border still closed?
No, the border was open then. Yeah. But I say that, and it must be one of the few military plans with a handicap.
Yes, yes.
Handicap drawing. But the strike never happened.
They feared that there would be a.
There was definitely, but to say the manager of the Monkey's Cave Distillery was there while we were doing the survey, and he asked us what we were doing. And
it was run by, Spanish? Or
it was run by Gibraltarians.
Gibraltarians at the time.
Yeah. Spanish labour, but Gibraltarian
management. And it thought that there could be some strike, and they wanted to keep the
central services. So basically, he asked me what I was doing, and I explained that I was here. And I was going to do a survey of the tunnel, and I would write an operations manual so that we could, in very short order, have a troop from the TA unit that we were with back out here.
So had there been a strike, labour withdrawal, and then the military would
have moved in and run the distilleries, and there was no strike.
And was that near the water catch? So the water catchments, and then it would go down.
Yeah, it's just up past the Coletta Palace Hotel. If you go towards the Dudley Walkway Tunnel, it's on your right hand side, about halfway down.
And there are the chambers under there where the water was stored, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, yeah. And it had a big distillery unit in there. Yeah.
So the water would have gone down the would have been caught on the encatchment.
No, it pumped in seawater.
Okay.
And it was distilled.
So it's a
desalination plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I knew that sometimes in the 70s, when they ran short of water during the summer, they used to bring in tankers.
Yeah. They used to do that every year, because at that stage there was a lot of tankers going from UK out through the Mediterranean. So.
And it rained about a week after.
Yeah.
every time
as they did. Turned up, but by August we were at well before August. Sometimes we were on water rationing. You only had water so many hours a day, and it got steadily worse. And then what they used to use was any new tanker that was running in ballast, actually carried fresh water to Gibraltar. Wow. And you know from around about September time there was always three or four of these. Coming in, big tankers.
And the first time you were there, were the military, the Royal Engineers, in charge of the sort of water supply of water?
We supplied water, and we supplied all the electricity for the rock.
Yes.
So, yeah.
All the essential services.
Essential services. Yeah.